Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 22. I want to share about putting God first. And I mentioned it, I know, last week, but we're going to begin to look at six areas. And hopefully I can do this right. Putting God first in our faith, in our families, in our finances, in our physical health, it starts with an F, this is spelled wrong, in our friendships, and in our future plans. So we want to look at six areas of putting God first. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because Bob McCoy, if you looked afraid this morning, Dan told him that we were taking six offerings until we got how much money we needed. And so that look of fear on Bob's face and the stack of envelopes he has next to his Bible, that is his son's fault. So just so we have that down. But I think if we all stop and we were honest and we were real, we would say that the best times in our lives were those times when we put God first. And those times when we honored God with absolutely everything that was within us. And in Matthew 22, they came to Jesus and they asked him a question. And they were trying to trap him. And it says, starting in verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind," and other gospel saying, "with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so, as we look to God's Word, what's first in God's Word? What's most important is that you and I figure out how to put God first in the various aspects of life. I'm sure that there are different ways to portray this. Jacob Aranza from Louisiana portrayed it with these six, and I loved his title and I loved his thought without reading his messages and going over the details. But to the degree that we put God first, we find satisfaction with life, we find peace in life, and we find fulfillment in life. And the challenge is to put God first. But the first one is faith. And when we think of faith, and I will go to my notes so I don't forget too much, but faith, Hebrews says, is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we talk about putting God first in our faith. We talk about things like believing that God is for us. Believing that God is on our side and that everything He allows in our lives is for a purpose. How many would agree that's hard sometimes? If we're honest with God, that aspect of faith is difficult because we live in a world where the world wants us to believe that what we can see is what's real and what we should hold on to. But the gospel, it's what's not seen that is the most real. Faith is something that you cannot see. Faith comprehends as real what we cannot experience in the physical. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I love this one quote. Faith is living every day like there is a God and what He says is true. When He says in Romans 8:28 that He causes all things to work together for good in the lives of those who love Him. That's tough to believe sometimes. Circumstances happen and we go, "Lord, how can this be for my good? This is just trouble. This is defeat. This is loss. This is emptiness. And the battle goes on in our mind. Are we going to believe the circumstances, or are we going to believe what God says about life? It says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham and Sarah, despite their old age and the deadness of their bodies, considered him faithful who had promised. And their faith jar, one way to look at this is this, and hopefully I won't spill it all over. To the degree that our jars are full in each of these areas is the degree that we will find fulfillment. And so when we sit, think of faith, things happen to us that we don't like. Do we say, Lord, I know you can turn it for good? Is there that aspect of faith where we believe? Like Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 99 when Isaac was conceived. Sarah was 89. And God had told them, Abraham and Sarah, you will be the father and the mother of many nations. Your children will be like the sand on the seashore. It seemed pretty impossible when they didn't have any kids. And yet they believed it and they trusted. And to the degree that we can believe and trust in an unseen God, we'll count that as full. How's that? To the degree that we can trust in an unseen God, we'll find satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives. It's that place where what people do to us is not the key, because we believe God's in charge. Somebody that hurts us, somebody that betrays us, somebody that does something that is totally unfair. We believe that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And as we put God first in our faith, we aren't deterred by circumstances. We aren't deterred by delays. And how many would agree that's hard? How many agree that's so difficult when the natural is not lining up with what we want God to do, with what we have prayed? Some of the times when God is the most gracious to us is when he says no. Amen? Does anybody else have a prayer that you are so thankful God did not answer? Really? I would not be married to Mrs. D if he had answered some of my earlier prayers. Lord, work this out. Thank God he didn't work it out. Is this a bad topic?
Bad example.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth. How often have we prayed for something and God in his mercy has said no? It says of friendships, and this is five parts of the message later, the best friend you can have is someone who knows you well enough to say no to you. The best friends we have are the ones that can speak the truth to us, that can call us out, that can say, no, that's not what God wants you to do. I'm sorry, I love you, but no. That place where the best friends can say no to us. God loves us enough to not answer our every prayer. And faith believes that God is always, always, always on our side. Faith believes that God is always for us and always working things out for our good. Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, I know that he who began a good work in you will complete it. God will not start something and then say, you know, I found somebody else I'd rather work with. I found someone a little better, a little more cooperative. The God who began a good work in you and I will complete it. And some of our faith jars are miserably empty. Oh, I'm going to spill this. Some of our faith jars look like this. and we wonder why it's a struggle. And my faith jar has looked like this sometimes, okay? Sometimes it seems like I'm pouring out when I should be pouring in. But to the degree that this is full, and you and I can trust God, no matter what the circumstances are, we will find grace and we will find fulfillment. It's putting God first. See, when faith kicks in, we obey. It says that in Hebrews 11, that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was tested about Isaac. When faith kicks in, when the faith jar is full, we have no trouble obeying because we don't have to fight for ourselves. We have no trouble obeying because we know God is on our side, and if he asks us to do something, we know it's right. You know, the rich young ruler, and I know I've talked about this a lot, when Jesus said, listen, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me, Jesus had something incredible for him. That young man was about to go on an adventure. He was about to begin a ministry where he would travel the world. All of Jesus' disciples that answered that call went all over the world with the gospel. And that young man could not let go because his faith jar that God's got something better. If God asks you and I to lay something down or to let go of something, we have to trust that he has something better for our lives. And to the degree that we trust him, we believe in the invisible, we believe in his word, we believe in his promises, we believe that he's for us and not against us, to the degree that we believe that, we'll find peace in life. It's those places where we trust him. Thou wilt keep him, Isaiah 26:3 says, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on God. The one who trusts God, the promise is God will keep him in peace. I don't know why this is happening, but I trust you, Lord. I don't know why you haven't come through yet, but I trust you, Lord. I trust you, I trust you. And we no longer look at people as the problem in our lives. We look to God and we say, Lord, I know you're on my side. The first jar is our faith. And to the degree that we trust the Lord, we trust the unseen. What was that last phrase? That living every day like there's a God and what he says is true. Hebrews 11:6. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we want to find peace and contentment, it comes through faith. We approach God by faith. We follow God. We obey. We sacrifice. It's all by faith. In Romans 12:3, according to the measure of faith you and I have received, we will receive from God. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith, be it unto you. This jar of how much we believe in things we can't see, and how much we believe what we just sang. God is good. God is good, period. To the degree that you and I believe that, we'll find grace for whatever's going on in our lives. See, if we truly believe that, God is good. I don't know how I'm paying that bill next week, but God is good. I don't know how this is ever going to change, but God is good. I don't know why healing hasn't come yet, but God is good. And to the degree that we do that, faith releases God to move. That's why when they came to Jairus and they said, Jairus, leave Jesus alone, your daughter just died. She went from sick to dead. Jesus spoke two words. He said, only believe. See, if this jar can be full, you and I release God to be God in our lives. We release him to do what he wants to do. Because faith opens doors, unbelief closes doors. And this first jar being full is so crucial as we put God first and not put ourselves first. That's the alternative. It's us first or God first. Are we going to believe what God's word says, or are we going to take matters into our own hands because God isn't doing what we want? If God's not doing what we want, there's a reason. If God's not doing what we want, there's a reason. And I know that's hard. I know that's hard. But it's putting God first in all the areas of our lives. Part of it is through the Word of God. Faith comes, Romans 10, verse 13, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can we increase this? I have more water, don't worry. The third one is the watering can. That's going to be the hardest. Can we increase what's in this jar? The Bible says through reading His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so as we read God's Word, we read the story of Gideon, like the ladies are going to do. And we see God taking an army of 32,000, whittling it down to 10,000, saying, no, get it down to 300. I still can work. And we see that God can move and defeat an entire army with a small group of people. Our faith rises. We see what happens with Joseph's life when he's thrown in prison. He's falsely accused of rape. And where does he end up? He ends up number two in the wealthiest, most powerful country in the world under Pharaoh, because he chose to believe and to honor God. We see the faith of Daniel, and we read how Daniel, even though he was captive in the nation of Babylon, even though they were trying to teach Daniel the cultures of the land, Daniel said, no, not going to be defiled with the king's meat. I'm not going to drink the king's wine. Just let me do it God's way. And Daniel ends up as an authority in the nation of Babylon, an ungodly kingdom, because he trusted in his God and his faith jar. He believed that God's word was true, and God honored that. The second is family. How do we put God first in our family? Do you know what we just said about God's word? For those with younger children, it's having family devotions. It's taking the time out, no matter what the schedules try to dictate, that there is time for God in our family routines. And that's true whether there are children or whether there are not. The divorce rate is interesting. I think we know it's somewhere around 50%. And I heard this from a pastor, so it is not a verified statistic. I'll throw that out. But the pastor was saying that among couples who pray together, and they pray together on a regular basis, and I'm not, Lord, bless this dinner. I think it means a little more than, you know, thank you. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think it's something more than that. But couples who pray together, the divorce rate is something like, they said, 1 in 1,500. Astronomically lower than what the world has seen. If we are going to put God first in our families, we're going to pray together. We are going to have family devotions. We are going to honor God about what He says about the family. Scriptures like Ephesians 5, when Paul is talking about Christ and His love for the church. I want to read this for just one second. In verse 25 of Ephesians 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." If we want to put God first in our families, there is a sacrificial love of husbands towards their wives, and there is a reverence of wives for the husbands. It continues, to make her holy, just as Christ loved the church, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And it goes on earlier. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the church. You can't get one without the other. There can't be the submission. God says submit without the sacrificial love. We submit to Christ because he loves us so greatly. And there's got to be divine order. And so, putting God first in our families, it's prayer. It's devotions. I thank the Lord that Mrs. D did devotions all those years when I wasn't always home with the kids. Others, you know, you hear about them reading Bible stories. And even when we take the grandkids and I give them a ride somewhere, I'm amazed the stories they know. I'm amazed the Bible stories that they know from doing devotions, from every time they have spent the night. Their little Bible book comes along, and there is something that we have to read. They're going to be with us Monday and Tuesday nights. We'll have instructions on what Bible stories to read. They will tell us, oh, Grandpa, we know that one already. But we'll be exactly there. And there has got to be a place where we put God first in the way we treat one another, in how God is honored in the home, and in the priorities of our families. Okay, putting God first in the family. It's priorities, it's devotion, and it's time in the Word. I think it's also service attendance and how faithful we are and where God stands in the priorities of our families. This is what matters. Hearing from God matters. Hearing from God's Word matters. And so we put God first, and I don't want to rush through, but in our faith, in our families, the third one is our finances. And Carrie encouraged us with the offering box in the back, but go to Malachi. And I know it's not the nicest scripture, and I would not want to close with this one, but Malachi, at the end of the Old Testament, encourages us to be faithful in our tithes and in our offerings. And it's interesting when you talk about putting God first. In Malachi chapter 1, the Old Testament closes, and Malachi tells the story, and he said, listen, you have been bringing God as an offering animals and sacrifices that are diseased, that are blind, that are crippled, that basically you can't use for anything else, so I think I'll give it to God. And God in Malachi chapter 1 was getting second best in every area of the people's lives, and God called them out on it. He said, you're offering the disease. It'd be like Stan bringing me a loaf of bread and saying, hey, Denise and I wanted to bless you, and it was moldy, and there was green stuff all over it. It wouldn't mean a whole lot to me to get that moldy loaf from Stan. And God says, how are you doing this to me? It's chapter 1. He got to the point where he wanted to close the doors of the temple. But in verse 7, Malachi 1 in verse 7, he said, you placed defiled food at my altar, but you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's temple is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Would he accept that from you, says the Lord? You know, in our time, and in our families, and sometimes in our faith, God isn't always first. And I would say it's true of me. It's probably true of each one of us. Sometimes we give God the leftovers. We try and read our Bibles laying in bed at 10:30 at night with our eyes like drooping, and we get like half a verse and they start to nod. Sometimes we give God second best. And when we do that, we reap the benefits of how we're living. And they're not the best benefits. Put God first. In your announcements, I don't think it made it this week, but last week, from the Living Bible, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, put God first in everything you do, and He will direct your life and crown your efforts with success. God has promised in His Word that if we will put Him first, then He will show us favor and He will bless our lives. But it's not some nebulous thing. There's specifics to putting Him first. And it's got to be in our families, it's got to be in our faith, and it's got to be in our finances. In Malachi chapter 2, he talks about tithes and offerings, and in verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because we're robbing me." And then he goes on and he says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there won't be room enough to receive it." And then he goes on to the areas of protection. And I'll say this, as we're faithful in tithing, God ministers to us outside the area of finances. One of the things I think we somehow think, if I'm faithful in tithing, then He'll bless my finances. If I'm not faithful, my finances will suffer. And it's way deeper than that. And he goes on, if you look at verse 11, he'll say, I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. And all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Tithes, giving 10% of what we make to the Lord. Proverbs 3 says to bring our first fruits. And I would encourage everyone, when you're blessed, when you get paid, that you take the first 10% and it goes to the Lord. You honor God with your first fruits in your local church, and then that you look for opportunities to give offerings. God says both. Some people support missionaries. Today's Mission Sunday. Other people, I know that they have like a child overseas that they support. Other people give to food banks. There is no specific when it comes to offering, but be generous. Be generous. There's some people, and I have no idea who they are, that every once in a while a 20 shows up in the Operation Smile jar. One showed up last week. Whoever you are, God bless you. But find a way to give and a way to be generous, offerings, alms to those who are in need. Find a way to be generous. Scripture says to the generous, God shows Himself generous, and to the stingy, God is stingy. You know, find a way to be generous and find a way to put God first and not last. It's hard sometimes. It's not pay every bill. Sorry, God, this was a bad week. That jar is staying empty. But it's honoring God with our finances. The next one is physical health. And the one scripture that God spoke to me is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in our body. With our body, we do the will of God. Present your bodies. Go to Romans 12:1. And it's the scripture that we looked at . It says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And this is not one that I'm excelling in at the moment. Mine's on the emptier side. I won't pretend. But our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We do the will of God with our bodies. And so we have to take care of the bodies that God has blessed us with. Amen? That may mean exercise. That may mean eating vegetables when we don't like them. How many parents make your kids eat vegetables? Because it's good for them, right? Because it's healthy. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we have been given a body to do the will of God. We want to take care of it. Amen? Amen. Friendships, I said this last week, our friendships, scriptures say that iron sharpens iron. Friendships in the Lord are so valuable. One person said, if you have 5 friends that are committed to you, you are a wealthy man. The other one that I quoted earlier, if you have someone who knows you well enough to know you, how many have someone that is such a good friend that if you say something wrong, they'll tell you it's off the wall? Who's got a friend? Really, not a lot when you think of it. When you think of it, sometimes we don't raise our hands because it's just uncomfortable. We don't want to do it. But friends that will speak the truth. Say, you sure you want to do that? That doesn't sound right to me. You sure you want to go there? You sure that's what God wants? A friend. Friendships are meant to help us. David had Jonathan. I tell you, he was closer than a woman to him. It was the best relationship he could ever have. What did Jonathan do? He warned David. Saul was going to kill him. He watched out for David. And what did David do in return? If you remember when Jonathan had died, David took Jonathan's son into his own home and took care of him and fed him. His son was crippled. You know, friendships are meant to be a great blessing. And if we have friendships outside the Lord, and I said this last week, friendships outside the Lord, there should be something in us where we are praying for their salvation. We are looking for an opportunity to share God's word or to in some way influence them for Christ. If we have friendships and there's outside of Christ and we're not trying to get them saved, and I'm not saying verbally or hounding them, but in some way, sometimes we just pray till there's an open door. If we're not trying to win them to Christ, get them saved, as Dan shared, get them in church, then we're using them. And I know that sounds terrible, but I want you to think that through. Because we're just using them for our pleasure. We love being around them, and there's no God in the middle of it. And the last is our future plans. We want God in the center of our plans. We want God in the center of our future plans. Put God first. Proverbs 3. In everything you do, and He will direct your paths. I know we want God's direction. And He will crown your efforts with success. You know, it's not something that's easy. Putting God first in your family. I can tell you, if there was ever going to be a fight at home, it would be right before devotions. I can't explain it exactly, but if everything was going to blow up or someone was going to get mad, anybody else other than just, no hands on that one either. You're not doing good on this hands thing today. But faith, we're committed that we're going to trust the Lord, and we get news that not what I wanted to hear. And all of a sudden, this jar gets emptied a little bit, and the battle comes again to put God first in the area of faith. But if you and I can figure out how to put God first, we'll find a level of satisfaction, a level of peace in our lives, and a sense of fulfillment that we are doing what God wants us to do. There may be other areas, but let's ask God to help us, amen, to put Him first. Will you stand? We're going to pray for Tommy in a minute. He goes to the hospital early Tuesday morning for some tests and then another procedure to try and help with seizures, and we are so thankful. Could we do God as well?